still fresh in the year. We're just starting out the new year, you know. And I was wondering, what could I share to help make your year better? What can I do? Well, I want to try to help you with studying the Bible. That's what I want to help you with. I can tell you, 70 years studying the Bible, I still find it fascinating. I still find it challenging. I love to study it, as any of our teachers will attest to. Elroy will tell you the same thing. He just enjoys his time in researching, studying. Dale mentioned about the size of the furnace. Now that's got me interested. I wonder how big it is. Obviously big enough that you can get four people in, and they were walking around, so it must have been a big furnace. But I am with you. I think he probably used it for probably baking the brick, because that's what their building material was used of in those days, so it could have been something like that, or melting down, as you said, metals to make big statues. Anyway, the Bible is interesting, and I want the Bible to be interesting to you. And I'm going to give you some tips, some things to help you to study it. Many of us here are Christians. Many of us read our Bibles and we pray. But are we meditating on God's word? And do we even know what the word meditate means? When the Lord called Joshua to lead Israel, this was after Moses died, he told him, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written therein." Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. You see, the Lord wanted to fill Joshua's heart with the word so he would know precisely what to do and how to lead his people according to God's standards. It's exactly what he wants to do with us in our lives. If we'll meditate on the scriptures, the Lord will show us and reveal his truths and his instructions to us. So meditation involves three things you're going to have to do. The first thing is you need to shut the world out. It means no television, no cell phone calls, or any other outside distractions. Does that sound reasonable? You've got to do that. You got to make that a priority. Because I can assure you that as soon as you want to start studying God's word, the devil will have all kinds of phone calls for you. I'm just telling you, that's how it goes. You've got to understand, the scripture says, don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. The devil's your enemy. He don't want you studying God's word, because if you study God's word, the word will get into your soul, and he wants your soul. So close down, shut down everything. And then you need to shut yourself up with God. It ain't a group session. This isn't a group activity. This is a private activity between you and God. It's just between you and him. And might I want to tell you that when you get alone with him, I want you to speak to him and talk to him. You're not feeling good? Tell him you don't feel good. There's sometimes I get up on a Sunday morning, not often, but sometimes it happens. And I say, "Lord, not feeling so good." Now you're gonna have to help me out here. Because in an hour or so I'll be before your people and I need to share what you want me to share. So you're going to have to touch me. Going to have to feel a little better than I do right now. And boy, just like that, before I can pour another cup of coffee, I'm feeling great. That's how God works. Amen. Glory. Amen. Has he done it in your life? He did say amen. Wow. He's working on some of you. All right. Then you need to focus your attention on the passage of Scripture. Focus on it. Pay attention to it. Listen for his instructions and guidance while you're reading and thinking and praying about the passage. Now, I want to give you four requirements if you want to have an effective time with God. There's four things that you're going to have to do. One of them already talked about. And I'm going to give you four P's. just having some fun. Andy, thank you for editing that. Andy spends more time listening to me than anybody here. He's got to go through and he's got to edit stuff like that so that the world don't hear it. Everybody on the internet, you know what I mean? A lot of people. So that poor man has to edit all this stuff. Thank you, by the way. You do a great job. The first P is priority. The devil will try to do everything he can in effort to get you to focus on anything else but God. He don't want you focusing on God. So he'll try to do everything else he can. The second one I already gave you. You need a private place. Pick a place where it's private for you. Thirdly, purpose. What's the purpose of meditation? Well, you want to hear from the Lord. How many of you here would not want to hear from God? You all want to hear from him. Well, can you do that? Well, absolutely you can hear from God. You mean to tell me he's talked to you? He's talked to me, but he hasn't talked to me like I am talking to you. Let me explain how he talks. I'll be sitting and all of a sudden it succumbed to my mind and it's as clear as can be. You ever know when you're trying to go to sleep, there might be 1,400 things going through here. Huh? How many of you know what I'm talking about? All kinds of activity going through here. But when God talks, all activity stops. And in your mind, it's very clear. That's how you know it's God. It's clear. It's the only thought I have right now. Wow, you mean God wants to speak to me? Yes, he does. And I want him to speak to you because you'll never be the same. Never. When God speaks to you, you're going to say, wow, how can you being so busy take time out for me? I'm nobody. Oh, yes, you are. You're special. You have a special fingerprint nobody else has. The hairs of your head are all numbered. He knows when the sparrow falls to the ground. You're special to him. Don't you let the devil say anything that you're not, because you are special. And God does want to talk to you. And he'll give you anything you need. You just put him to the test. Try it. The day's not long enough for me to share how many times God's intervened for me. You heard the story about Steve Porcheline one day. He was sowing something in his garden. His garden was next to his house, and he had lost something on the tractor, and he needed to have it. And he had to work the same day. He was busy. He just didn't have time to fool with it. He needed to find the piece to his tractor. And I happened to stop it. They don't remember what I stopped for, but I stopped. And he was telling me about that. I said, well, God knows where it is. Well, he said, go find it. I said, I will. Lord. But I walked the length of this stage. And I saw something laying there and I picked it up. Something green. Hey. Looks like John Deere to me. I took it over to Steve. He said, what? He said, you're only gone 10 minutes. I said, it don't take God more than 10 minutes. He can do it in a minute. I'm sorry I was late. That's just one illustration. Just one. I could just give you a whole list of them. Try God out. You'll be amazed. You'll be surprised. You ever lose something at home? Ask him where it is, and then start looking. It ain't going to appear. You got to start looking. You got to put forth an initiative. Start looking, and you're going to find it quicker than you will ever realize, because God knows just where it is. You don't believe me? Go ahead and put him to the test. You'll be surprised how quickly you'll find what you're looking for. And fourthly, plan. Set aside time to meet with the Lord. Set time aside. Now, I know that sometimes you're pressed for time. And maybe this day you just don't got the time you'd like to spend with them. Well, you know, You can sometimes do Russian roulette with your Bible, and I don't recommend it. Hey, right there's what I need. Okay, because one day you might open up to Leviticus, and I'd like to be with you when you do that. I'd like to see what you do with that. Okay, so doesn't God speak that way? Yes, he can. He can speak that way. He has spoke that way. Because dire circumstances It depends on the circumstance, what I want to say. I'm going to think about the Gideon speakers we got. Some of them went to the motel for the one sole purpose of doing what? Committing suicide. And they find a Gideon Bible. And they just pick it up and happened to open up. You know, God knew exactly where they needed to read. And they began reading and their life was saved. So God does work that way. Don't make a habit of Russian roulette. Just pick a book and study it. That would be a better way, okay? God can speak to you. If you say, now, Lord, I'm pressed for time today, don't be doing to make a habit out. But if you are pressed for time, here it is. Please speak to me because I only have a few minutes. I got to get running. And he will accommodate you. But I told you, don't make a lazy habit. It's a lazy habit. And don't. Bad habits are easy to start. They're easy to do. They're hard to break. Good habits are good, but bad habits are hard to break. Okay, three steps in meditation. I'm going to give you three more steps. First one is observation. You have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 1, verse 1 and 4. We're going to look at the verse. I'm going to show you some things with it. It would be good if you could get a Bible that has a margin on the side that will help you interpret it, that passage of Scripture. That would be good. Because when it comes to interpretation, some Bibles are a little better at that. And they have some good information on the margin that will help you with that particular verse. Verse 1 is where I'm at. It says the letter was written by James. Probably it was James was a half-brother to Jesus. And by the way, James didn't really start believing in his brother Jesus till after the resurrection. It didn't happen until after the resurrection. That's when James really got serious about believing in his brother, because I really believe it spoke to his heart that this is more than just a brother here. He came back from the dead. So he must truly be the Son of God. So James didn't really start believing in his brother until after the resurrection. So he wrote to the 12 tribes, as the Scripture says, that were dispersed all over the place. At that time, these people had, this has been a long time ago, folks, as you know, but listen, the Scripture was still written for us today, for every generation, including our generation. So James gives some very clear instructions regarding what God desires to do with his people. He wants to accomplish this, and he does so through trials. And how should we respond to them? Well, sometimes not very good. So then we go to the interpretation. What does the passage really mean? What can we learn from the passage? We look at this passage and we read it. Maybe sometimes you got to do like me. You got to keep reading until it finally starting to make sense to you, because there's some passages that are difficult to understand. And so that's why we continue to read it. So what does it mean? What can we learn from it? It says in verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter these various trials. In the midst of the difficulties and suffering, we want relief. Yes, we want it right away. We don't want to go through the pain and the suffering. We're looking for a way out of this hardship. But James says the solution is to change your attitude. You need to have an attitude change. Instead of becoming bitter because of it, or becoming resentful, we need to watch our attitude. We are to count it as joy. Not because we're enjoying the experience. There's no joy in the experience of hardship and suffering. There's no joy. But the joy should be your attitude. Why is that? Well, because we know that God is working the best. Even in this circumstance that we find ourselves in, God is working. He is sovereign. And he promises to walk through with us. Our joy is in the Lord. It's in his purpose, not in our situation. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, the reason we can consider trials joy is because of what we know is true. Whatever God sends, whatever he allows in our lives is not just a random event, but it is a test of our faith. Its purpose is for testing. It's for approval, not defeat. He has our best interest in mind. Always remember, when you're going through it, he has your best interest in mind. And so we should become strong and able to endure. And we'll never develop this quality if life was just simply easy. Are you with me? If you never had hardship, how would you understand that you would have sympathy to somebody else that's gone through that? If you've never gone through it, how could you help somebody? God wants you to help somebody that's going through it. That's why you're going through it. So you can help others. You want to be a help to others. So be careful and watch what you're going through. It's something you'll never learn otherwise. Take endurance. If you don't, you'll quickly yield to temptation. So don't give up and walk away from God's will, which is simply an easy thing to do. Because maybe the same thing's happening again in your life. Did you ever have that happen again? I've had this happen to me a few years ago. And now it's happening again. Why is that? Guess what, George? You didn't learn the first time. You see that? You didn't learn the first time. So that's why you're looking at the same problem again, because you didn't learn nothing. So God's having to bring you through the same thing again. Lord, don't let me be a hard learner, because I don't want to go through this again. I can tell you some things that I would never want to go through again. Never. It was too hard. It was too hard. And I'm glad he's never put me through it again. But have I had situations where it seemed similar? Oh, yes, I did. And I said, Lord, give me some help here. Obviously, you weren't happy with the way I went through the last time, and I'm sorry. Help me. Help me this time, because I want to see what you want me to see, because I don't want to go through this again. Help me here, Lord. I know you're after something. Verse 4, let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete. Now, here is a prime example of having some help here with a commentary. First of all, you're not perfect, neither am I. There was only one that was perfect. It was Jesus. So we need to look at this word perfect. What does it mean? The word perfect does not mean sinless. It means complete, strong. And here's the word that you understand. Mature. Mature. That's interesting. You become mature. Some people are 80 years old and still not mature. Are you listening to me? They're that old and they're still not mature. He wants to mature you. He wants to have his perfect work in your life. The Lord loves us so much, he doesn't want us to lack anything. He don't want us to lack any of these qualities. And then we have the application. I'm finishing with that. That clock still don't work. If the clock strikes 13, what time is it? It's time to get another clock. That one didn't strike 13, but it must be time for another clock. Application. How should we respond to what we just read? How does God want us to think about these trials? So, we need to continue to meditate on the passage. Think about the passage now that you read it. When you go on with your daily work, whatever you're doing, think about the passage now that you just read. Think about it till it becomes real, till you really understand it. When we really believe this, we'll be able to face, no matter what, is ahead of us. We'll be able to confidently face it if we learn what we need to learn through our time of hardship. You need to understand that God loves you unconditionally. You know what that means? You can't make a mistake that God's angry or mad at you that he can't forgive you. Isn't that wonderful? It's the same way with your children. You know your children can't do anything to make you stop loving them. Will they do some things that you may be upset with or you're not happy with? Sure. But I'll bet you'll always love them. Of course you will. Why wouldn't you? Your Heavenly Father is the same way. Listen to me. You can't do anything that God will stop loving you. Do you understand that? He loves you unconditionally. Don't let the devil talk to you like that. Don't let him torment you. Because the devil likes to torment you. He likes to intimidate you. But I'm telling you today that God loves you unconditionally. He always loves you and always will. You can't do anything to make him stop loving you. Do you understand that? Wow, what a statement. That's what the Bible says. He loves me. He loves me. Wow. Even when I make mistakes, yes, he does. And ask the Lord to show you areas of your life that he has targeted. I just went through that. I told you. I said, Lord, open my eyes to what you want me to see. Would you show me? Would you show me what you want me to see? Each trial is designed to strengthen us in a particular area of our weaknesses, and God knows your weakness, and he knows he needs to strengthen you there. You're weak there, but you need some help, and he's willing to help you. He wants to help you. Acknowledge your weakness, that's all. Most of the problem is we're not willing to acknowledge our weakness. Why is it most men don't think they have a weakness? Just ask your spouse, they'll straighten things out for you real quick. Men will say they're not lost, they just don't know where they're at. God loves you. He loves you so much. He'll never give up on you. You're here today because somebody never gave up on you. Aren't you glad you're here today? Ask him to show you what he's after. And then, lastly, agree with God that the end result was worth the pain. I look back and I see things that I went through, and I'm glad now that I did learn what I was supposed to learn. It was painful, but I can tell you it was worth the pain. It was worth it. It was okay. It was worth the pain. What a rewarding experience meditation can be. What meditation can do is increase your intimacy with the Lord. That word intimacy just means closeness. You want to be close to the Lord? Do the things that I shared with you today. Meditation. Think about the passage of scripture that you're looking at. Ask God to speak to you. The Lord has given us his Holy Spirit. He said to the disciples, I must go. If I don't go, the Holy Spirit will not come. So I must go. So the Holy Spirit will come, and the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. Will lead and guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, will enable us to interpret scriptures rightly and then give us the power to apply it into our own lives. That's what the Holy Spirit is for, to help us to put it to work in our lives. So I hope this was helpful for you today as we begin another new year. We all stand. It's time to go home.